So this message was actually inspired by Dave. There was something on social media that Josh posted on Facebook, and it was a picture of Joe Biden's inauguration with another picture below it saying, this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
That was from Star Wars.
Yeah, from Star Wars. And so Dave commented and said, hey guys, we need to be peacemakers and light in this world. And I responded to Dave, you know, it's tough being the peacemaker all the time and not being able to point out the double standards that are going on. Yeah, because, I mean, it's really tough. And Dave said, I think the best thing that we can do right now is to love everyone as God loves them and refocus our hearts to Him instead of being obsessed with things of the earth like news and politics. Well said, Dave. You're the man. So it seems like people, Christians in particular, and I'm not naming any one particular person, but they're content with being a part of the problem instead of being the solution. And so the great thing about God is that He doesn't require us to agree with others to help them. Regardless of your political views, there are people out there that are hurting today. How would it have changed history if all of the people flocked to Sodom and Gomorrah, all the righteous flocked to Sodom and Gomorrah instead of fleeing it? We are called to be the salt, because the salt is a preservative. It preserves whatever you put it on. Just because Jesus is in you, it preserves the ground around you. We are supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be the bringers of hope. We aren't supposed to run. And I know that it's really easy to stay away from these topics because, you know, that we just don't want to get tangled up in it. But aren't we supposed to be the answer? Us being God's people, aren't we burdened to provide the answers to the world's problems? So we kind of have to have an answer to some of these questions. So I just want to tell you guys and encourage you and declare that you are the answer. We have to pray and we have to seek God and what He wants us to do. No matter how small it may seem, the things that you do have a major effect on the future. So let's look at the book of Daniel to see if he can point us in the right direction for some of these questions. Some of these topics that we have today. And I'm just going from Daniel 1, verse 1. It's actually a really cool book. I really encourage you guys to read it. All right, so in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded, anybody know how to pronounce that? Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. And then, I know you guys probably know the rest. You know, Daniel said, oh, you know, we can do this. It's like, we can do it this way. We're not gonna look worse. We're going to look better. So Daniel is enslaved after Jerusalem is invaded. Him and his three buddies. He's basically enslaved. It's kind of the best kind of enslavement. Because at least he gets to hang out in a palace, like, with all this luxury and stuff. So it's like kind of the best kind, but he's still a slave nonetheless. But it's a very interesting book. And Daniel says, hey, I'm not eating the food, but you can call me whatever you like. He isn't called a prophet. He's actually called a magician by the king. And that's completely backwards. Because for me, I would eat the king's food and probably say, hey, don't call me that. This is my name. And so he did it backwards, but it actually takes until chapter 4 for the king to understand that Daniel only worships one God. And then he doesn't even know his name. He just says everyone should worship the God of Daniel. And it takes 7 years for him to get that revelation. Daniel doesn't even bother to tell him God's name. So what's the first thing that happens to them in this new system? It labels Daniel and his three friends and changes their names. And this is in a time period in which people chose names because they had meaning. So most of the time, your name kind of defined who you were. So Daniel, the first thing that they did is they changed their names. And they called Daniel Belteshazzar, which was the name of the king's personal false god, or the name of the king's favorite god. So people out there in the system that we're currently in, they may try to label you as something that you're not. When I went to Virginia Tech, some people that I didn't know too well, they actually said that I sounded dumb because I had a Southern accent. And so they would call me dumb in the dorm room just because of the way I talked. And so, like, this was kind of, I just let them talk. I was like, okay, that's fine. I was like, that's why I got a 3.7 GPA and you guys are, like, struggling to, you know, make it to your classes. Yeah, so they automatically think that I'm dumb because of the way my voice sounds. The world will place you into a group. Oh, you're from the South. Oh, you're a Democrat. Oh, you're a Republican. So I only care about the labels that matter to me. Because those other labels, they don't define who I am or, you know, mix in with my identity. But the labels that I prefer is husband, father, and child of God. Those are the labels that identify who I am. And it says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food and with the wine that he drank. So after 10 days, they looked better than those who ate the king's food and drank the king's wine. They set themselves apart in the system that they were in. So they were in this new system, but they didn't play by the rules of the system. They really played by their own rules. So know that you are set apart. We don't adhere to the same customs of the world. We're God's people. We're supposed to be salt and light. Instead of being a preservative, I see a lot of Christians adhering to the world's customs and taking their disgust and hate to Facebook and letting those heathens have it. So that's taking your salt and pouring it on the ground. And if you don't know, when you pour salt on the ground, it destroys the soil so nothing will grow. So all of those seeds that the Bible tells you to sow are now worthless. Oh, and just a fun history fact. The Romans, they had these Punic Wars. Dave probably knows all about it. they had these Punic Wars between Rome and Carthage, and like Rome won the first one, then Carthage won the second one. And so Rome, on the third Punic War, they were determined that they were never going to have to deal with Carthage again. So they destroyed Carthage, enslaved everyone, and then went and poured salt over the entire island so that nothing would ever grow again. So they would never have to deal with Carthage again. So all of these words that you have and everything that's in you won't help because the soil is no longer viable. That person or those people can't receive anything from you or any other Christian because of the damage that has been done. You have to labor the soil and work endlessly to make the soil fertile again. You have to work hard to get that person back into a position where they can receive from anyone. So use your salt wisely. Use it to preserve rather than to destroy. And Daniel 2, chapter 2, the king has a dream. So, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. And then the king commanded that the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dream. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. And they answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. And the king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain me, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the time change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. And then they answered the king, and they said, we can't do that. No man can do that. So basically what the king wants is he wants all of these magicians and wise men that he has, he wants them to tell him what his dream was without saying anything to them. And he wants them to tell him the interpretation to the dream as well as the dream. And so, I mean, if you guys know, like, that's impossible. Like, there's no way you can do that. Yeah. So the king orders the execution of all the wise men, including Daniel. So what does Daniel do? He seeks God for an answer to the king's dream. Daniel actually goes to the guard and tells him, hey, call off the execution. Like, I'm going to go see the king. And he does this before he actually seeks God for the answer. So he had the faith that he would get the answer before he ever seek God to get the answer. So he trusted God to know that God would give him the answer. So Daniel tells the king his dream and gives him the interpretation of the dream. But when he comes in, he starts with, I have the answer, but I want you to know this doesn't make me any better or wiser than anyone else. The only reason why you're getting this dream and the interpretation is because God wants you to know what's going to happen. And so he made it about God and not about himself. And I think this is the word for the church as a whole right now. In our world, we have to be the answer. Or we have to have the answers in this moment. We have to seek God and have the answers. And I believe this is mandatory in this moment like no other time. So I want to encourage you to do the things that God tells you to do, no matter how small or insignificant you might think that they are. Like if Lydia hadn't been nice and kind to Josh, he probably never would have come here or, you know, gotten married to Liz, and they would never have had Bruce. If Christian, a friend of mine, hadn't encouraged Elizabeth on Facebook, then we would have never met, and we wouldn't have had three kids. So Elizabeth saw a friend on Facebook. I'm kind of going to the story a little bit, just to show you like how small just one little thing can set events in a completely different way. She went on Facebook and encouraged this guy who had this negative post, and he was saying, you know, like something was wrong and he was feeling down, and he kind of let everyone know. And she encouraged him and said, hey, you know, like this doesn't really matter. Like, don't worry about it. You got this. You can do this. And so Christian, my friend, he saw that and messaged her and said, hey, it's really refreshing to see someone uplifting another person on Facebook. You don't see it that much. And so 2 weeks later, or a few weeks later, we met for the first time because we had a Bible study at the Daily Grind. And that was the first time that Christian had met Elizabeth, and that was the first time that I had met her. And so, I mean, I guess you guys can kind of figure out where it goes from there, but we had a few dates and got married. So if Christian doesn't send her that message, we never meet. We never meet at the coffee shop, and we never get married. We never have kids. So just that small thing that God wanted Christian to do changed my life forever. Just a sentence. So, Christian, he's awesome. I hope you guys get to meet him at some point. I hope he comes down. But look at what one simple word of encouragement did. It connected two people that became five people. And we have blessed and been blessed by so many people, and none of that would have ever happened. Me and Elizabeth, we were each other's answer. Sorry. So what is the answer to the nation's problem? Well, it's kind of what Dave was saying, unity and love. Everyone I have conversations with, I tell them that we need to look at our similarities instead of our differences. We all laugh the same way. We all cry the same way. We're all human. If we can focus on this first, it will keep us from dehumanizing each other, which is so easy to do, especially on the internet. It's too easy to say, oh, you're in that group, so you're less than human, you're dumb. We can't really do that with people these days. We need to convince people that our love for them is greater than our beliefs and ideas. Despite what people think, you don't need to agree with them to love them. And I'm sure that we can all look at our children or friends or, you know, you probably don't agree with everything that they do, but you still love them. So what's the answer to the current state of our question? As Dave put it, love and unity. We need to convince people that our love for them is greater than all of these little petty things that we've got going on. To love someone is to share Jesus. And we have to convince people that our love is genuine. All people are really looking for is just someone who truly cares about them and has a genuine heart. That's really it. But I want to wrap this up. I like short and sweet messages. So I want to wrap it up and kind of summarize the three things that I feel like we need to do. Number one is know that you are set apart. You were created for such a moment as this. It's in your DNA. You are the royal priesthood that has been commissioned by God to save the world. Number two, seek God with everything that's in you. We don't know what to do if we don't seek God. We can't rely on other people to point it out for us or point us in the right direction. They might not know what God wants for us. We can't rely on Pastor John or Marianne to tell us what God has for us or what God wants to do. We need to find it ourselves. Number three is be the answer. Get your answers from God. If you're diligent enough to ask, He's diligent enough to answer. And last but not least is love. Love people like they're a part of your family. Every time Daniel would have the interpretation for the king, he would say, "Oh king, I wish this were about your enemies and not about you." Daniel loved the king, even though the king enslaved him and his friends. And we have to get this concept of loving people that don't deserve it. Just because they don't deserve it doesn't mean that we can't show them love anyway.